We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind Casino, still the one, and by Allstate, proud partner of Oklahoma Athletics. Now, here's Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into a very special postseason edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast. This is an all-softball episode. Eric Lopez, play-by-play voice of the UCF Knights, will join us later in the show. And right now, we are joined by the person you heard on the call for Oklahoma and Texas A&M and Oklahoma and Prairie View A&M on ESPN. She's Erin Miller, Big 12 Player of the Year in 2016, two-time national champion. Erin, what a weekend. What was it like having to be impartial this weekend?
It was tough. It was good. It was good for me. It was a good exercise for me. But I got a little berated by some OU fans on the socials, you know, like I think they're used to hearing me from one perspective on radio with you. So they had to get used to me playing both sides fairly, but it was a blast. Good softball. Enjoyed being there. Was very honored to get to call A&M. Looks like Joe Evans will be exiting a historical career. So it was a great weekend.
So just real quick, take us through that with Joe Evans, because she gets win number, what, 1,400 on Saturday night? Kind of 1,300. Thank you. 1,300. They celebrate it. And then the next thing you know, she's out. But that, to me, I hate that for Joe Evans, because you can attest to this. She's a legend. But in the same vein, it shows you, Erin, that level of expectation in this sport now when you commit resources like A&M has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the securing of 1,300 was a big deal for her, and they did it in comeback fashion, which was very poignant, I think. You know, they had that six-run inning late in the game against Minnesota in order to come back on Sunday and get a shot at Oklahoma. And I would be lying if I sat here and said that it didn't hurt me a little bit to watch that just juggernaut of an offensive performance take her down 20-0. I mean, the Sooner in me loves to see it, but I know that that team's better than that. And I had a chance to talk with her and Craig Snyder after the game, and there's no better humans. I mean, they're both of them. Joe Evans is just a fantastic woman who's given so much to the sport, and always loved covering her games. I can remember playing them a ton, especially during my 4 years, but man, they've come through Norman quite a bit. So long history there. Coach Gasso has immense respect for her and had a chance to ask her a few questions about her thoughts on Coach. And there's just a lot of respect between those two. They've known each other for many years, and sad to see her go, but very thankful for her impact on our sport. You think of the new Davis Diamond over there in College Station has really set the standard for what's to come. And I think she's really made a mark on softball. So happy to see her, you know, get the recognition that she deserves.
You know, it's it was really cool. I've obviously, I think you and I talked about this last week when we were previewing 13, 14, 15, 21, and now 22. You know, five times in the last 7 years, their season has come to an end here. So we've known a lot about A&M. And I'll tell you what, Aaron, from my perspective in, you know, doing my daily radio show, it's been really cool to see the growth of the sport, because there was a lot of conversation about it today. And as we taped this on a Monday night, there's a lot of conversation on my show. And I don't know if that's people worried that Jen Rocha might be a candidate, or, you know, looking around and wondering how much money A&M's going to spend. But I think and even fans are like, Aaron, what are you doing? You're a Sooner. You're being impartial. Let's go. I think it does show the growth of this sport quite a bit, where that fan base continues to expand. And listen, we love Sooner softball, but it's about everything that's going on in the sport right now.
That is the biggest thing. And I hope that anyone that watches consumes softball in any form can get that sense. And I hope that our media personnel and anybody that's got a platform to talk about softball always respects the sport as a first priority. That is my biggest hope and my biggest heart when I show up and put a mic on or a headset on is, yeah, I'm a Sooner fan and I'll bleed crimson till the day I die. But beyond that, and I would even argue Coach Gasso has the same sentiment, like our heart and our pledge and priority is to grow the sport of softball and to continue to fight the fight for female athletics and women in sports. That's the biggest priority. And so I hope that I echoed that this weekend, because Joe Evans has done a lot in that regard. And I look at Davis Diamond, and you mentioned it, you know, who's going to step into that role. I haven't heard much on the Jen Rocha. That's a new one for me. I've heard a ton about Kieski maybe,
yeah, me too,
being in the ring for that. You know, he just recently married Rachel Fox, who's a grad from there, pitched during actually my career. I got to face her there. And so, yeah, I've heard a lot of hubbub. But, man, yeah, there's a big role to fill there. And I think whoever steps into that is going to have a palace to do a lot with.
Aaron, let's just dive into then the Sooner side of things, with this being the Sooner Sports Podcast. Obviously, you know, Saturday had gone kind of how maybe the last few games had gone, right? Sooner score early, maybe you miss some opportunities with runner in scoring position. On Saturday, you had a couple runners. T.R. Jennings gets thrown out at home, Jada Coleman at third. But, man, what a statement Sunday was for this team going forward. How big is that for not just these bats, but Nicole May too?
Yeah, it's huge. What was a very close game on Saturday, I think back to the Haley Lee home run, her stomping on home plate, that doesn't feel good at home, right? A team looking at that at home plate going, yeah, no, not here, not in this house. And I think that they had the last word on Sunday with a 20-0 victory. But one thing that this team does well is they handle their business at the plate. But something I really appreciate is when they get free passes, when a team has a miscue, they will take the inch and then run a mile with it. And so that's going to serve them really, really well. I think going into postseason is you're gonna face some people that'll have a misstep, a free bag, an error here and there. And, man, you can't do that against a team like Oklahoma because they'll expose you. And I think they showed that on Sunday. And then Nicole May, my goodness, she was in control since the first inning. What we saw out of her on Saturday and just early performances in the weekend, I think that she kind of struggled with getting behind in counts a little bit, but we saw a totally different version of her on Sunday. And I think that version of her, where she is early and often and attacked, it just feels suffocating for batters that face her. And so that was a huge rep that I think that she'll have to ride into super regionals with the Knights coming into town?
You know, we get asked a lot, and I don't know. I know today is a big day for Jordy Ball to see, you know, how much she can do. But I think it's incredibly reassuring, Aaron, when we've seen it all year long. And I loved what you said on Twitter about Prairie View A&M. They were spunky. They were hard-fought. They scored their first run in postseason play on Saturday against Minnesota. So I liked watching them. But you should be able to shut down Prairie View A&M. I thought what we saw from Hope Troutwine and Nicole May, and yes, you hope Jordy Ball can get back. I thought that was incredibly reassuring because they didn't miss the zone too much. They bounced back mm-hmm. for the mistakes that they made, and they didn't give up free passes. I thought that was huge.
Yeah. It should be reassuring, I think, to Sooner Nation, but more importantly, it should be reassuring to the offense. Because coming into this weekend, I had a chance to sit down with Coach and talk with Chari Jennings and Grace Lyons and Coleman and Alo and just the who's who, and they kind of gave me the wrap on the whole weekend and how they prepared for regionals, and they addressed the elephant in the room with me. You know, there's cool. there's this extra pressure, you know, of not having your ace in the circle and your workhorse, and oh my gosh, we've got to score more runs. Well, my goodness, you've had over 35 run rolls this season. You're outscoring opponents like 400 bajillion to nothing. You know, you don't need to do any more. You just need to keep doing what you've been doing. And so I think they refocused that and came to terms with that this past week. And man, it really showed on Sunday. And so I hope this team can just kind of take a deep breath and go, we're okay. We are good enough. Our staff is good enough to get us there. And our offense sure is potent enough to put enough runs up on the board.
Hey, Aaron, two more and I'll let you get out of here. You mentioned Jada Coleman. When you see what she's had multiple hit games now in every single game of the postseason. What kind of spark can she be at the top of the lineup? Because to me, she seems like she can be a pretty special leadoff hitter.
You know, I yank her chain all the time about being a mini me, because I just see so much of myself in her. And I was obviously, you know, a part of her recruiting and got to host her when she was looking to come to Oklahoma. And maybe that's me being selfish and narcissistic, but I do feel like I've injected a little bit of that into her veins because we've got a great, very close relationship. And I personally love to see her in the leadoff because she's a true triple threat. She is, you know, she's got speed. She can punch the ball into gaps. She can go yard. She can bunt. But it, to me, what sells me on her in a leadoff is not even all of the hard tools. It's the intangibles. It's the passion. She's very unfiltered. She's very raw. She wears her emotions and her body language and on her face and just the way that she maneuvers on the field. She even told me, she goes, man, this between these white lines, it's like my playground. I just have fun out here. And that is what you want at the top of your order. So I love to see her there. I think that she's the right choice to get things started and to ignite an offense. And she's really embracing that role, I think, now as the season gets into postseason.
And you mentioned TRA. It's so weird to say things like, I think she gets lost in the mix whenever she has, what is it now, 50 home runs in her first 2 years combined. I mean, But again, I feel like sometimes we forget just how special she is too. And that 1-2 punch that her and well, regardless of where she is in the lineup, you know, it can be the 3-hole or even the 4-hole. I mean, Tiare Jennings is really something else.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that a lot on air actually this past weekend. I mean, you've got 6 of your starting 9 that have double digit home runs on the season. And a couple that are either injured or on the bench right now that have just as much pop and power. If you were to look at any one of those athletes that have double digit home runs, I think of Tiare Jennings, the Grace Lyons of the world, you know, I could pluck their numbers and performances and stick them on any other roster in the nation. And they would be up for conference player of the year, individual awards and accolades. But when you intensify that on a team like this, that you're surrounded by those athletes, it's hard for me to even admit or say that people get overlooked, because I do know that,
right,
Chris, that you work very hard at highlighting each athlete, but my goodness, when you've got like Joss Manalo, who's setting home run records, and half the team is over 400, it's the numbers that this team is putting out. It's, you truly do want to give every single one of these girls all the awards in the world because they deserve it. I mean, this team up and down the order is just ridiculous.
They're so fun. They're so fun. I'm so glad you got to call the Norman Regional. Is there any chance, Aaron Miller, we'll see you at the Super Regional?
I wish. I am actually going to be headed to Dark Vegas, baby. I'm going to be covering old Sam Ricketts up there in Starkville. It'll be fun doing the dogs and Arizona Cats. So I'll see you those Women's College World Series.
That'll work. And I'll say this. How about the upsets in watching Oregon State, Stanford, Arizona, mm-hmm. Mississippi State, and Texas all pull it off this week?
I'm looking at the bracket right now, and I've been chewing on this bracket all day because I feel like I say this every year, Plank, but like, is this the most wild postseason we've seen yet? Well, it sure feels like it. I mean, there's five unseeded teams in Supers. Two of those sites are hosted by unseeded teams. Texas had a huge chip on their shoulder, flying up to Seattle, snagging two from Washington. I think that they felt like they had something to prove and they came out on top, but they'll be going into Fayetteville with a tall order. Arkansas has been on fire lately, but I even think of Northwestern. My goodness, Michelle Gascoigne has been making noise up there in Chicago. And it's just, it's been really fun to watch the landscape grow. ACC has had dominant representation. I feel like the PAC is finally back. Big 12 has a lot of looks and representation. So across the board, I just feel like our sport is headed in a really fun direction, and I'm happy to be along for the ride.
Aaron, have fun in Stark Vegas. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Plank.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
From Aaron Miller, we go to the opposite dugout. I had a chance to sit down with my guy, Eric Lopez, the play-by-play voice of the UCF Golden Knights, to go in-depth not only on the OU-UCF matchup, but also on the wild postseason so far in college softball. What's up, Elo? How are you, bud?
I'm doing well, Chris. This is an awkward time, though. Our teams are playing each other. This is where usually we're like, you know, shooting the breeze, talking softball, but now it's serious.
It's for all the marbles, baby. Okay, well, let's start with just a general before we have to get into this your team versus my team thoughts and conversations, Eric. What a first weekend for college softball. Upsets mixed in with a couple dominating performances. What surprised you the most this weekend?
I'm shocked that we had so many upsets, especially Florida State losing twice at home to Mississippi State. You have Alabama losing at home in a regional for the first time in the Patrick Murphy era there. Not going to a super. Tennessee getting clipped twice by Oregon State. I was baffled by it. I mean, I was on the air for most of the weekend, so I didn't see most of it. But when I saw the scores, I thought they were wrong, and then they weren't. And that's the part that shocked me. I mean, we got Mississippi State hosting Arizona in a super – one of those teams are going to the World Series. I mean, there were people that thought Arizona shouldn't make the tournament. You got Oregon State and Stanford in a super regional. I mean, that feels like a Pac-12 network series, not let alone a super regional. I mean, it's the most shocking regional weekend that I can remember.
I really thought, you know, and Florida looked dominant, right? And they won their three games and got out. I kind of thought Tennessee was on the path towards that. I kind of thought Florida State was on the path towards that. And I mean, I'm still jaw dropped by some of the things that took place this weekend. Shocked.
So that shows that there's parity in the sport. I mean, Virginia Tech had to come from behind to beat Kentucky. They were fortunate because I did catch a little bit of that as well. But it speaks to, you know, the parity of the sport, and I think it speaks to the credit of, you know, how good Oklahoma is, that you guys somehow avoid that kind of stuff, although I know A&M pushed you on the winner's bracket game on Saturday, but it just seems that it's Oklahoma and everybody else right now in the sport, because it seems like everybody else, it's kind of like it's up for grabs. It really is. Like, I really thought, Chris, that Florida State was going to be the team that might be the biggest threat to the national title for Oklahoma, and I still can't believe how they got outplayed by Mississippi State twice in the same day at home. It's really baffling, and it really, and then Texas going into Seattle and beating Gabby Plain twice. I mean, it was wild. I'm still in stun.
I am too. I'm really shocked, but I'm excited. I'm excited that you guys are coming to Norman, Eric. I'm excited to see this UCF team that I've heard so much about this year. And we touched on it a little bit whenever we talked a few weeks ago, but take me through the strengths. What's made this UCF team so good in 22?
Versatility. They can beat you in so many ways. You know, they have power with Jada Cody, we've talked about, who has 14 home runs, Shannon Doherty, Ashley Griffin, a young freshman. They have speed. They have athleticism 1 through 9 in the lineup. They have 1-2 punch in pitching with Gianna Mancha and Kamal Woodall, who have completely different repertoires that completely can throw off offenses off balance. They have a good defense. They're young. They're moxie. And they kind of play with that who cares, you know, deal. Like, why not us mentality, you know, Chris? Because I think we've talked about this before. There were a lot of teams that didn't want to be a 16 seed. There were teams that told me, hey, we'd rather just travel, to be honest with you, than be in a 16 host site. That was never came out of UCF's mouth. They didn't care where they were seated. They just wanted to host. And they want to play the best. And so, obviously, to host for the first time, which was this weekend, was incredible. I'll never forget the Michigan game on Saturday, going over 4 hours, 11 innings. And then they just kind of wore down the Wolverines, and now they get a chance to go up to Norman to play Oklahoma. I know that a lot of our fan base is making the trip. A lot of the alumni, softball players, are making the trip, traveling to Dallas to Norman. I mean, I don't know how they're going to get into the building, but they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to get in the building, Chris. So, and I'm telling you, when you're going to hear at some point during the broadcast some of that UCF chat, you're going to be wondering, where's that coming from? Well, that's where it's coming from, because these people travel. So
that's awesome.
People are excited. People are excited. It's a great weekend, but obviously they got a tall task in order. But I think they're excited for the opportunity. They head coach Sidney Bobalone, that's always been her mentality to them. It's like, let's play the best, no fear. You play the best and leave it on the field and see what happens.
It makes you better,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And you mentioned Sidney Bobalone. I mean, I don't know if you want to say this is a relatively new program, but I mean, she's only been the second head coach in the history of this team. What's really kind of been her – what separates her? What's made her so special?
I think what makes her unique is, from the standpoint, she's able to evaluate talent. You know, Kamal Woodall was 9-19 at East Carolina last year. She entered the portal. I don't think anybody said, hey, Kamal Woodall's going to be a difference maker. Well, you know what he did? It was Sidney Bobalone who did. You know why? Because she saw her go against her in conference, and she saw something in her – that others didn't. And so she's brought the most out of her. She brings the most out of her players. She's demanding, but she's also very creative, puts them in a position to succeed, not afraid to change things up on the fly. She's a great pitch caller. I think we got two of the best pitch callers in the sport this weekend in Cindy Balmalone, who handles the UCF pitching staff this year exclusively, and then Jen Rocha, which I'm the only one that knows this stat, but I'll give this to you, Chris, for, to use on the, your broadcast.
I'm writing it down.
So UCF, over the years, would run into Florida in the regionals and get knocked out in 2008, 2010, 2012, 2014, 2016. The pitching coach for Florida on all those Florida teams, Jen Rocha. So once again, for UCF in the postseason, they got to run into a Jen Rocha-led pitching staff. So the more things change, the more they stay the same.
What is it then about this program in general? Because I say it's not necessarily a new program, but in a lot of ways, it's only 20 years old. But then in its 20 years, it's been to the tournament half of those years. I mean, that's not easy to do, Eric.
You're right. It started with Renee Lourdes Gillespie building the program up from scratch, getting talent in Florida. I think talent in Florida has improved every year. But I also think, for example, Cindy Balmalone and Coach Gillespie have had a pipeline in the state of California. So you add the balance of Florida and California, and you've got yourself talent. Tim Walton has done that at Florida, for example, if you look at his rosters. So that's been a big part of it. I think they've had great pitching. They've always had great pitching, going back to Dottie Cup, Allison Keim, Mackenzie Otis, Shelby Turnier, who was a top 10 finalist player of the year in 2015, Aaliyah White, and now these two that they have in Mancha and Woodall. That's been the recipe. The difference is with this team is they have an offense. You know, the thing that's kind of held them back is they didn't have the depth offensively. They would have two or three good hitters, and then everybody else is kind of an automatic out. And usually what would happen is they would run into Florida pitching or Florida State pitching in the postseason. Well, now they have offense. I mean, look what they did on Sunday there, Chris. They scored 9 runs against Megan Bobian, Alex Duraco, and that Wolverine pitching staff. Literally. I mean, Chris, Hutch threw every pitcher at UCF, and nobody could get him out. They couldn't get him out. And that's the difference between this UCF team and past UCF teams. Their philosophy is to be offensively efficient and to attack and put pressure on the opposing defense. And they will be, if they have to be disciplined and take pitches, they scored the first 3 runs on Sunday via the walk. So they'll score in a variety of ways. That's the difference, I think, between this UCF team now and the past. But they've always been scrappy. They've always played hard. They've always had athleticism. They've always had pitching. And that's why they've been successful even in a short period of time.
And I think, you know, the Big 12 gets knocked for this every so often about the depth of the teams in their conference. I think what we're seeing too, and this is just my opinion, you might say that you think it's BS, and obviously I followed a little bit closer because I am a University of Tulsa alum, but I think you see a league where there's not a lot of weekends off, right? Those were tight games with ECU. Houston played well against you guys. Wichita State's a tournament team. Tulsa has been a tournament team in the past. It's also, I think, a league in the American that doesn't necessarily get the respect it deserves, in my opinion, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 6th strongest conference in the league. Now, the bottom this year was down compared to past years. But the thing I think you can relate to this, Chris, and I don't think people, the media and the public, sometimes understand this, a team like Houston this year, for example, is down.
Yeah.
Well, UCF and Houston have been playing against each other since 2006. In multiple conferences.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what the record is. It's a battle. So it's not a surprise that it took UCF extra innings to beat Houston in 8 innings in the semifinal of the American Conference Tournament. It's kind of like the Baylor series for Oklahoma, right?
Right.
Baylor was down this year, yet they're one play away from knocking off Oklahoma because you guys play each other so many years.
Yep.
Glenn Moore knows Patty Gasso. Patty Gasso knows Glenn Moore. That makes it a challenge. Same thing with Oklahoma State, et cetera. I think that's what people don't understand. But you're right. I mean, Wichita State had a dynamic offense. South Florida with Georgina Corrick. That rivalry speaks for itself. But you're right. They do get pushed. And, you know, for UCF, it was a lot of pressure in the American. It's kind of similar to Oklahoma goes through, where, you know they almost have to go perfect in league play, especially UCF. They knew to host, they probably had to win the regular season title. They had to win the conference tournament. With the non-conference schedule, you couldn't avoid slipping up against an East Carolina or a Tulsa because the resume would kill you. So add that pressure, kind of like Oklahoma, where if they lose a Big 12 game, the people think the world is on, you know, the Sooners are in trouble. So from that standpoint, I think both have that similarity where you know, they play in strong leagues, but yet they don't get the credit for it. They're expected to dominate.
Is from just what Cindy Balmalone, the motivation side of it, you've talked, this team's played Virginia Tech this year, right? You've played the best of the best. Is there a, I don't know, chip on the shoulder, us against the world kind of mindset? Is that played up much whenever you know just how viewed of a favorite Oklahoma appears to be?
Yeah, I think they don't. They're not going to pay attention to that. I think her mentality is we're playing Sally, right? Like they're playing. Her focus, no matter who they play, is you got to worry about yourself. You can't worry about who you're playing, because if you worry about who you're playing, then that throws you off. If you play well, then you'll be fine. But if you're not going to play well, then it doesn't matter who you play. You're going to get beat. And so I think that's part of their mentality. But I also know for a fact. I mean, they beat Texas earlier this year, and I know it's been brought up throughout the year. Hey, Texas beat Oklahoma. So, and you beat Texas, so why can't you?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they've got every little psychological trick ready to go. I'll tell you this, Chris. They're not going to go into Norman in awe. They're not going to be. Now, they might lose, okay, because Oklahoma's better, but they're not going to lose because they're just going to give it to Oklahoma. That I would be shocked on that. I think they're going to play hard. They will be ready to play. I don't think they're going to be intimidated by the atmosphere because they have played in tough atmospheres. But, you know, at the same time, they're playing the best team in the country. So, you know, that's where that might be an issue. But, you know, I think they'll be ready for the challenge. I know that that's something that they're looking forward to is getting the Super Regional. Their goal was to get to Oklahoma City, and, you know, they're pretty close to it, literally.
Woodall, you mentioned the transfer from ECU. Spent some time at North Carolina State too. 9-19 last year. You brought it up, but what is it that you've seen that's really clicked with her? Did she throw about everything? And I mean, my gosh, she was incredible in that 11-inning game against Michigan the other day because that's a good hitting team.
She is a rubber arm. You asked, she could throw every day if you wanted her to. In fact, she gets better the more pitches she throws. It's very wild. She keeps the ball down. She executes, and I think her and Cindy Balmalone have been a good fit. I think Cindy Balmalone has brought the most out of her. She's brought the most confidence in her. Came off says this is by far the best team she's ever been around, not just talent-wise, but just being the camaraderie. She loves the school. I think she was meant to be a UCF Knight, and it finally found her way. Her personality fits this fan base. It fits this team. You know, that was the big question going into the season was who's going to replace Aaliyah White, the all-time wins leader? Who's going to eat up those innings? The answer is Kamo Woodall is. And I think you saw that in display this weekend going 11 innings. And I don't know if people on TV understood. She threw 181 pitches. The heat index is 100 degrees out there. Like, I'm toast right now, Chris. If you looked at me, I'm well done. All right? And I'm in the booth. Imagine her. They're playing. And she wasn't fazed by that. And then comes back Sunday to close out the game against Michigan. She's been a marvel, a remarkable player. You know, UCF, there's a player here, an athlete named Mike Hughes, who was a defensive back.
Yeah.
2017. You know this, Chris, from following football. He was added to UCF in the fall of 2017, before the start of the season. Had an All-American year in the quarterback. Made the famous kickoff return against South Florida. Helped UCF go undefeated the whole year. Without Mike Hughes, UCF doesn't go undefeated, doesn't win the American, doesn't win the Peach Bowl. In my opinion, Kamon Woodall is the college softball version of Mike Hughes. Without Kamon Woodall, UCF's not in this position getting ready to head out to Norman in the Super Regionals.
That's a cool story, man. That's a great angle. All right.
She wants to be, by the way, she's going to Baylor Law School after she's done.
Well, I mean, she's taking the right direction here. You know, you hit I-35 out of Norman, it's a straight shot down to Waco,
there you go.
So she's good to go. One real quick one, non-OU and UCF. How big is that opening at Texas A&M? I just think that is a massively good job.
We're about to see a seismic dominoes about to play out in the offseason. You remember when Texas opened, right? And there was all the big names that were rumored, and then Mike White ended up going there, and it caused this, you know. I think this is even bigger.
Wow.
This is bigger because A&M can throw more money. They have better facilities. They're in the SEC, obviously. They are going after some monster names. I'm talking, there's national championship head coaches they're going after. And if they're able to land one of them, that is going to cause a seismic changes across the board because now that school is going to be looking for a marquee coach and vice versa.
Yep.
So This is all of a sudden. I was hoping to have some vacation time in the off season. That went out the window now if A&M opened.
And then finally, just your thoughts on Oklahoma. You cover this sport better than anyone year round, and we've seen them have some adversity this year with the injury to Jordy Ball and now Kenzie Hansen being a little dinged up. What have you seen from this Sooner team in 22?
Resilience. I've been really impressed. Here we go, and it speaks to, I think Jen Roche doesn't get enough credit for this. You're without one of the best pitchers in the country, and you didn't miss her in the regional. Like, right. That's incredible to me. Hope Trotwine did a heck of a job. Nicole May stepped up, and it's the same thing. Somebody always seems to step up, and Oklahoma's always ready for it. The big question is, when does Jordy Ball return, if she returns, and who can, you know, can Oklahoma, you know, be knocked off? I don't know. I mean, that's the biggest question in the sport, and it's just remarkable the job that Jen Rocha and Patty Gasso and that staff does, because it seems like if somebody goes down, somebody else is ready to step up. There's always a name. And it speaks to the depth, but it speaks also to the players that are ready to go to step up when their name is called, which is not easy, right? Because you and I know at times players can pout and say, well, it's not my meant to be. I'm not going to get to play. All of a sudden they get their name called. They're not ready to play, but that seems not to be the case at Oklahoma. So it's a credit to them, and we'll see what happens this weekend in the Super Regionals and what they look like and how UCF kind of tries to game plan for them.
I had to catch too long. I appreciate you. Bring your sunscreen. We're outside, just so you know. I'll make sure you got a good line. We'll be ready to roll, and I can't wait to have you here in Normandy to call what I think is going to be a fun Super Regional.
Should be fun, Christopher. It'll be fun, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. Eric Lopez. 3:30 first pitch on Friday. We'll be on the air on the Sooner Radio Network with a 3:15 first pregame show. And then, of course, on Saturday, 1 o'clock between Oklahoma and UCF. Hey, before we wrap things up, let's go in-depth on tonight's Game 1 of the Big 12 Baseball Tournament. Toby sat down with Skip Johnson to talk the Sooners and the West Virginia Mountaineers in the Big 12 Tournament.
7:30 tonight or thereabouts will be the opening game of the Big 12 Tournament for the Sooners. They get West Virginia tonight. We're joined now by Sooners head coach Skip Johnson. Coach, good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys? Good morning to you as well.
We're doing good. We're doing good. I'm excited about today, Coach. Let me start with this. First off, congratulations on a great year. You were picked sixth. You finished tied for second in the Big 12. You should have been Big 12 Coach of the Year. Fantastic season for your team, Coach.
Well, I appreciate that, Toby. It didn't really – I mean, what makes me tick is we turned it around a little bit. We got to continue to get better weekly. And you can – rest assured, the assistant coaches had a lot to do with it, and the players had a lot to do with it. It's not about me. It's more about them, and I appreciate your telling me that.
You had a decision to make, Coach, for tonight for Game 1 with a Wednesday start to this tournament, and you decided to go with Carson Atwood and save Jake Bennett for, I assume, tomorrow night. Tell me about that decision-making process.
Well, he's the first name I pulled out of that cowboy hat. No, I mean, we've thrown him on short rest a couple times, and I wanted him to get full rest. He's healthy. I just wanted to make sure that he got full rest. I mean, that's the biggest thing going into the next week. I think that we should be able to get in. You never know, I guess you'd say, but it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is if he gets full rest, that gives us the best opportunity. He's a really routine-oriented guy. Every seventh day, we've been throwing that guy all year long, and every time we've thrown him on 5 or 6 days, he hadn't been as good. So we got to continue to do what we do. And I think Atwood's going to go out and throw strikes, just going to match it up from that point on.
Safe to say, though, with Jake, that your performance in Lubbock allowed you to make this decision, right? I mean, you feel comfortable enough that you can do something like this.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I'd rather go into a place where you're throwing a guy on short rest knowing that you're already in probably, and you don't have to force those kids to do something. I mean, this guy's got the draft coming up in a month, and he gets evaluated every time he gets out there. I mean, 30, 40 scouts at every one of those game, cross checkers, assistant general managers, just a little bit about everybody. And I want him to just go out there and just make pitches. Be a good pitch maker.
Okay, when you make the decision to save Jake, you have some options there. You've thrown Braden Carmichael in the midweek a lot this year. Chaz Martinez has been a starter for you. Why did you settle on Carson Atwood? And is he a starter or an opener for you tonight?
He's an opener. He's not a starter. He's an opener. He should go 2 to 3 innings and kind of piece it together with what we call if I told you the secret, I'd have to shoot you, so I'm not going to do that. Just kidding. But it's the deal called the runway. So what we'll do is we'll go through it and look at it, see which guys match up with what runways as we go through this game in their lineup. If it might be a guy for 2 outs, it might be a guy for 1 out, it might be a guy. And you can either be a hero or goat in that situation. And what I mean by that is if it works out, you're a hero. If it doesn't work out, you look like a goat. So, I mean, I've looked like a goat a lot of times in being a pitching coach, so I'm not too really worried about that. I mean, one day you can go out there and throw a shutout, and, you know, it's kind of funny. I've always said you're only as good as as a pitching coach, you're only good as your last outing. So, you know, that's the difficult thing about doing what we're doing.
You know, I have had the opportunity to catch a glimpse at some of your charts and, you know, color-coded charts and matchups and analytics and all that kind of stuff that you guys – you do a lot. You guys use, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you use a lot of analytics that goes into your pitching matchups, your batting lineup, all that kind of stuff. Is that more this year than it's been in the past, or has it always been that way for you?
No, it's always been that way. I mean, it's something that we've gotten a little bit better at as we gone through it every year. I mean, it wasn't like that. Where it's at now wasn't like that 5 years ago. Analytics is taking a new toll. It's taking a new deal. Reggie's really good at it. He brought a bunch to the table for us to help us a little bit more. I'm kind of new in the analytics stuff. I think your eyes still tell you. I think your heart still tells you a lot. But the matchup stuff is really good. I mean, you just got to look at the strengths and weaknesses as you go through it. I mean, there's not a – if you could be in a perfect world, you're not going to do it perfectly. I mean, that's what's awesome about baseball. It's an imperfect game that everybody's trying to be perfect in. That's what's incredible about the game. I mean, what other sport the defense has evolved? So, I mean, you know, that's the – It's pretty crazy.
I would imagine, even that being said, though, there are multiple times a game where the numbers tell you one thing and your gut says, I don't know if I agree with the numbers, right? I mean, does that still happen? Or you just say, I'm going to take that element out, we're going with the numbers?
No, I don't do that. I mean, I do it both ways. I mean, it's sometimes you just got to grit your teeth, bite your teeth down and go, hey, we're doing it this way. Another way is like we're taking a chance. We're going against the numbers. So it's, you got to do it both ways. If you don't do it both ways, that's a hypothetical guess in it, you know. And I think that's what – but also that's what the fun in it is too. I mean, we worry a lot about, you know, man, I just hope he makes this pitch. Well, he's better against this guy. His numbers show that he's better against this guy. Put him in a row that he's going to be successful in, and just let him go, and that's really what it boils down to be, you know. And then you start looking at pitches. Well, he struggles with this pitch and this count. You're like, here we go. And you start really dissecting it, and it gets really tricky at times.
You played West Virginia not very long ago. What did you think of Randy Mazey's team, and what's important against this very speedy lineup that they have?
Oh, they're very good. I mean, you just got to go out and try to take it one pitch at a time. I mean, you go back to the fundamentals. You just got to win pitches and take it one pitch at a time, try to get their leadoff hitter out. I mean, they're really explosive, and they got a great offense. They got a great pitching staff. What we got to do is just go out and be ourselves and take care of business.
Is there any advantage at all to you guys having played 9 games here already this year, or is a baseball diamond to baseball diamond?
Well, I think the environment is will help us a little bit from playing here this year. But as you well know, Toby, we have 18 to 22-year-old young men, and really sometimes they're player-led, and you never know what they're going to show up and be ready to go. Or, I mean, you think about it, you can go out there and give them a speech, you can give them all that stuff. I mean, we gave them a big speech. You got 18, got beat 18 love at Wichita State. You know, I was ready to go out inside and start fighting somebody after we gave them a speech. And then we got beat 18 love. So, I mean, if you just never know. I mean, they're gonna, they've been really resilient all year, and kind of proud. I'm really proud of them. Get emotional about it because we've come a long way in a time where it's hard to really help our product. There's a lot of kids that gotten a lot better on our baseball team. Believe me, where I went into the year, going into the spring, going, oh my goodness, we can't play catch, we can't do this, we can't do that, and all of a sudden, it's been a lot different, and I've been really excited about that because you just don't get to spend the time with them anymore. It's with the NCAA and what they do with time limitation. You just don't get to spend the time with them anymore. And this game, this game demands you to spend time. It demands you to practice it. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, because there's so much failure in it, and it demands you to do those things. And really proud of them.
Last question, and it's going to be one that annoys you because I think I annoy you all the time when I ask you about NCAA tournament and stuff. But we talk about it on this show a lot. Do you feel like there's a scenario by which you could still host a regional? And if so, what do you think you got to do this week to make that happen?
I think that, yeah, I do. I think we've got to win two to three games to host. Two, I think, would for sure. Three, I know we would. Play for the championship, I know we would. We just got to go out and play baseball. For our conference, we've got to have some teams host for our conference. And that's what I'm afraid of. I mean, our conference is really, really, really good. And we should get six teams in. There's no doubt in my mind. And I think if you don't host some of those teams, Toby, I think you won't get six teams in. I've been in this league where three of these teams been to Omaha in 2014, 2011. So, I worry about that.
Thanks, Skip. Go get him.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Skip Johnson, 7:30 tonight, OU West Virginia in the Big 12 tournament opener for the Sooner.
Thanks for joining us on this edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast. For Aaron Miller, for Eric Lopez, for Toby and Skip Johnson, I'm Chris Plank. We'll see you with Brent Venables and JT Gasso on Friday right here on the Sooner Sports Podcast. Until then, have a great day and Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind Casino, still the one, and by Allstate, proud partner of Oklahoma Athletics. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Sooner Sports Network.